In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've been paying attention to our Sunday readings this spring, you will have noticed that ever since Easter, our first reading has been taken from the Acts of the Apostles, not from the Old Testament, like it usually is. And if you've been paying really close attention, you will have noticed that the readings are not progressing in order. We've been jumping around from chapter 4 to 3 to 4 to 8 to 10 today, and then next week we'll be in chapter 1, and then 2 weeks from now we'll be in chapter 2 on Pentecost. Now, the reason for this is not to make you dizzy. It's to chart the gradual shift that occurs over Eastertide from focusing on the resurrection to focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit. Readings like today's passage from Acts chapter 10 are like mini Pentecosts that prepare us in heart and mind for the main event. And in today's passage, Peter has gone to the house of Cornelius, who is a Gentile, which is a bit of a surprise to his companions, because before this, Peter's preaching had only been to his fellow Jews. But that's not the biggest surprise of the encounter. The biggest surprise is that the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them just as vividly as it was on the disciples themselves, and these Gentiles begin speaking in tongues and extolling the God of Israel, the Father of Jesus Christ. Peter and his compatriots are astounded because they are seeing the Spirit of God bubbling over and filling the hearts of those who are not of their chosen tribe and who have never even met Jesus before. The Spirit is breaking out all over, and it's out of their control. This out-of-control nature of the Holy Spirit has made the institutional church wary of it from the beginning. While we acknowledge the Holy Spirit as an essential part of the Trinity, it's hard to pin down and explain and control, and so it doesn't get half as much attention most of the time as Jesus or God. Part of the reason for that is that the Spirit is disruptive. And darned if the church, ours included, doesn't find disruption to be a loathsome thing. Just think about what happens to those Gentiles in Cornelius' house. They start speaking in tongues and extolling God. It's loud, it's noisy, it's uncontrollable, it's incomprehensible. And that's why speaking in tongues is not usually one of our practices here in the Episcopal Church. Though I am aware that some of you are familiar with that practice. For those of you unfamiliar with what speaking in tongues is, there are many what are called charismatic denominations of Christianity where their worship service involves this practice. And what it is, very generally speaking, is an ecstatic experience in which one is so lost in reverie that language breaks down and they start babbling or speaking incomprehensibly, and sometimes running up and down the aisles or even fainting from the rush of it all. It's an experience of being overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, and the service is anything but the orderly affair that we so enjoy. It's fascinating and frightening to behold. Now, if what I just described makes your toes curl from the chaos of it all, and you would find such a disruptive display of spiritual ecstasy offensive to your finer sensibilities, then you are in the right place. It is not without reason that Episcopalians are sometimes called the frozen chosen. But just because we are without the hollering of holy rollers and people running up and down the aisles speaking in tongues, that does not mean, I hope, that we are without spirit. No, we have our own ways of making people stand up and let their emotions rule the moment and cause their mouths to pour forth incomprehensible utterances, because we, my friends, are a tradition that sings. By my rough calculations, in our standard Episcopal service, we spend more than half the time singing or listening to singing. More than half the time, that's a lot. And that's why having a good choir master and a good choir and a good set of choristers can really make or break a worship experience, as I'm sure you have seen in your worshiping life. Why is that? Why do we sing so much? Well, historically, our English heritage has imparted a love for choral music in the cathedral tradition and a commitment to recovering the ancient musical roots of Christian worship, and we do our part to try to uphold that legacy. Aesthetically, it adds beauty to our worship, and beauty is a well-worn avenue to the divine. But I'm going to proffer another reason that we sing so much in church, because when it comes to something as grand as God, sometimes talking just doesn't cut it. For us, singing is what we do when the emotions are too important or too intense and normal speech patterns fall away and new sounds, beautiful sounds, sometimes frightening sounds, break forth from us as we too extol our God. Now, to be fair, even our singing is measured and well-ordered, but for an Episcopalian, singing is as close to speaking as in tongues as most of us are going to get. And that's okay. Not everyone connects with God in the same way. There are many gifts, Paul tells us, but the same Spirit. And if you think about it, what is singing but breath, but Spirit and flesh working in consort to create sounds that we don't usually express? Kind of like speaking in tongues. Singing is a sign of the Holy Spirit moving in us, breaking forth from us, which is why we do it so much in church, and why it has always been such an important part of the worship of Almighty God. Now, I recognize that not all of you are singers, nor do you necessarily find singing in church to be a Spirit-filled experience. But my point is that if we allow ourselves the liberty of broadening the definition of the presence of the Holy Spirit beyond just speaking in tongues or even singing, and instead think of it as an overflowing of emotion given form in our bodies, I wonder what else might be considered the Holy Spirit's work in us. What other mini Pentecosts are breaking out in our lives? Maybe rocking out to the car radio with the windows down on these warm spring days. Letting loose on the dance floor, shouting out in delight, losing ourselves in laughter, clapping for joy. Singing isn't the only way to let the Spirit that I know is in you somewhere come bubbling out. My concern for the work of the Holy Spirit is not that it's absent in us, but that for some reason we work so hard to try to keep it buttoned up. We often stifle the rambunctiousness, the fun of the Spirit working in us. When's the last time you just hooted and hollered? When's the last time you jumped for joy? We don't have to get all happy-clappy, but I'm saying that if we see such activities as immature or indecorous, and thus needing to be restrained, then we miss out on the fact that letting the Spirit of joy flow from us is an essential part of the Christian life of faith. As Jesus says to his disciples, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." That is full, full to overflowing. We need to have moments in our life when the Spirit breaks out in us, moments of exuberance and enthusiasm. Did you know that the root of the word enthusiasm means to be possessed by God, entheos, to have God in you? And what have we been talking about in John all these weeks but Christ being in us, and us being in Christ, and Christ being in God, and God being in us? Enthusiasm. That's what we need. We need moments in our life when we are possessed by God. We need to find ways to allow the Holy Spirit to permeate us and take us over just a little bit. There's a holiness in that experience that we run the risk of repressing when we try to keep every aspect of our life too closely in line. So with our psalmist this morning, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice, and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp and with the voice of song. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout with joy before the Lord, before the King. Let yourself be entheosed. Do something that gets you shouting for joy, clapping your hands, tapping your feet, singing a song. Let the Holy Spirit that has been poured out upon you bubble over and take you over, so that you may know the joy, the enthusiasm, the fun of being in God and having God in you. Amen.